when I woke up was, what will I wear? What will I wear? And you say, why? Do you usually think about that? No, don't usually think about it. But I've known and loved Billy Renstrom for 15 years or over, and he was going to see me today. And I thought, now, what should I wear today? Because I want Brother Renstrom to see me at my best. I think you'll agree that I've succeeded. And but I, not only that, I thought, now, what tie shall I wear? And he's already profaned this gorgeous tie that I have on. Called it worldly in my Sunday school class. And, but anyway, then just before I walked out, I got nervous. I don't know why, but I got nervous. I'd seen him many times. That's why I got nervous. I knew what he looked like. And, but he'd never seen me before. So I went to the mirror and got these two hairs on my head and combed them down to their full length onto the floor and rewove them across the top of my head and got my comb out and pulled it a little bit, try to cover as many of those white streaks I can get. No, they're pink streaks I can get, cover up there. And I thought, now I wonder if Billy Renstrom thinks I'm bald-headed or have a lot of hair or what. And I got thinking, and I got on my knees in my study. And I said, dear Lord, it's going to be one of these days when I'm going to see you. And you're going to expose me as I am. Help me to be as concerned about getting this part in here right as I am this morning about wanting Billy Renstrom to think I look nice. And so this morning, for a few minutes, I want to tell you a little story in the Bible. Elisha, the great prophet, was about to die. And what a life he had lived. He's 90 years of age. He's coming to the place of his death. He had asked God for a double portion of Elijah's power and had received that, for he had performed exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah did. What a life. Elisha's coming to die now. So will you. So will you. What kind of a life can you review when you come to the end? Joash, the king, who's a wicked king, but for some unknown reason, wanted to be with Elisha before he died. And Joash, the wicked king, made a special trip, I get the story, down to Elisha to see him before he died. What an honor. What an honor to think that the king would come to see God's man before he died. He got there and he wept. And where he ought to weep. Brother, when a fundamental, faithful, Bible-believing preacher dies, that's more serious than President Kennedy's death or a president being assassinated. And it's sort of sad to me that not many people are weeping this morning about that little preacher up in New York State who's been kidnapped and maybe killed. And brother, you mark it down. I said from this pulpit several years ago that they'll come before very long when heathen people will make sport of killing preachers. And that's what martyrdom is. Martyrdom is when it's the fad. It'll be a fad. I mean like miniskirts. I mean like streaking. I mean like the old panty raids they had on the college campuses. It'll become a fad to kill God's people, and especially God's preachers. And brother, if we don't get some Elisha's in this country's gone. She's gone. Well, Elisha speaks to Joash the king and says, Joash, get that quiver of arrows over there and get the bow. And Joash gets the bow and a quiver of arrows. Elisha says, shoot one out the east window. Now, no talking, please. Shoot one out the east window. He said toward Syria, because Syria was the arch and bitter enemy of God's people. It was a custom in those days when you declared war on somebody, or you're declaring the fact that you would defeat a nation, you'd take a bow and an arrow and you'd shoot that arrow toward that nation as sort of a symbol of we intend to win victories over that nation. So Joash gets the bow, gets the arrow, he opens the window, he goes to the window and out the window and toward the sky, he shoots that arrow toward the east. Elisha comes over or calls him over and he says, Joash, I'm going to put my hand on you. And God's man placed his hand upon Joash and then he says with his hand on him, Joash, take the bow and take the other arrows and shoot the other arrows out the east window, but not toward the sky, but toward the ground, which means that that one arrow points to what you're going to do to Syria. You're going to take Syria from the sky and bring her down to the ground, and judge her and bring her down and defeat her. So his hand on, or with Elisha's hand on him, Joash takes the bow and points that bow toward the east. And the arrow goes toward out the window, the east window, and toward the ground. And then the second time, he takes an arrow from the quiver, puts that arrow in the bow, and shoots it out the east window toward the ground. He takes a third arrow and puts it in the bow and shoots it out the east window toward the ground. Now the king, Joash, has taken three arrows, three times, he shot out the east window toward the ground. Then he stops. He puts the bow down, puts the rest of the arrows back in the quiver. Elijah gets mad. You say, a preacher shouldn't get mad. Preacher ought to stay mad. Ought to stay mad. Preacher ought to stay mad at sin. Stay mad at the devil. And, brother, it makes my blood run hot this morning to think about a faithful man of God standing up and fighting the devil. And don't you think for a second the devil's not mad at the fundamental preachers in this generation. And so Elisha gets mad. The Bible says he's wroth. A 90-year-old man, he's wroth. And Joash asked him, why? And Elisha said, you should have shot more than three arrows. He said, you should have shot five arrows. Or probably six arrows. Now he said, because, I get this. He said, because you've only shot three arrows, you're going to win three battles against Syria. If you had shot all the arrows, you would have completely destroyed the land of Syria. Little did Joash realize that day that when he took that first arrow and put it in the bow and shot the arrow out the window, that that one little deed was going to cause so much havoc, so much heartache, and so much sorrow. He didn't know what rested on just shooting those arrows. Just a symbolic thing. One arrow out the window. Two arrows out the window. Three arrows out the window. What difference does it make whether it's five arrows, six arrows, or three arrows, or one arrow? He shot an arrow out the window. But Elisha said, because you've only shot three arrows, you'll only have three victories over Syria. He said, if you'd have shot all the arrows, you could have had complete victory over your enemy, the Syrians. Now, may I give you just a few observations, just briefly this morning. In the first place, I want you to notice the importance of the symbol. The importance of the symbol. Why, I'm sure Joash should have said, what difference does that make? Six arrows or three arrows? I tell you what difference it makes. God's man said, shoot them all. And he did not completely obey what God's man had said. Now, wait a minute. He could have said, I can go to God for myself. And that's true. You can go to God for yourself, but when God's man says something that God said to him, then God's people better sit up and take notice. And so God's man had said, shoot all the arrows. And he stopped with three arrows. And because he stopped with three arrows, little children will someday be orphans. The blood of good men shall be shed on battlefields. Lovely women shall be widows. Heartache, death, ruin
because the king did not obey God's man. You know what America needs? America needs to elect a president that'll check with God's men before he does something. America needs to check, have a president, elect a president who has a wife that learns how to keep her mouth shut. Or speak what she ought to speak. I mean, what the president ought to do. He ought to check with some of God's prophets. Find out! He ought not to go whining and dining in Red China, or whining and dining anywhere, for that matter. God give us a decency again, where the kings and rulers look to God's men. Little the importance of the symbol. Now here's a symbol right here. Somebody says, well, what's important about getting baptized? Because God said get baptized. That's what's important about it. But you say, why go all the way down in the water? Why don't you get a little water and sprinkle it on your head? Because God didn't say get a little water and sprinkle it on your head. I'm sure Joash could have said, well, what difference does it make? Three arrows or six? I don't know what difference it makes. God said shoot them all. The importance of little, of the symbol. Now, there's something else I want you to notice, and that is the importance of little tasks. One little act could save the lives of many men. One little act could have saved the lives of many husbands. One little act could have saved the widowhood of many ladies. One little act could have saved hundreds and thousands of little children from being orphans. One little act. He did not know that day when he picked up the bow and the arrow to point it toward the east window and to shoot three arrows out the east window. He did not know that the entire nation rested upon that one little deed. No, and you never know either what rests upon your one little deed. And that's why every jot and every tittle of the Word of God we ought to obey. And that's why everything that God says we ought to do. And that's why every task that God gives us to perform, we ought to do it with all of our might and all of our heart. The little woman who dropped the two mites in the offering plate did not know that that the eternal TV cameras were fastened upon her, and that little woman did not realize when she took her little purse out that day and with a trembling palsied hand dropped two little mitts in the offering plate, little mites in the mitts, mites in the offering plate. Little boy one time gave his gloves because the widow gave her mitts, he wanted to give his too, and dropped two little mites in the offering plate. She had no idea that little gift that she gave would be the example of giving for all the ages to follow and all the years to come. Large vessels often hang on small nails, and that little teacher in the First Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas, one Sunday morning, a little boy came to her Sunday school class, a little foreign fellow. That little boy attended that Sunday school for a number of years. That teacher did not know who was in that class. A young lad named Sirhan Sirhan was in her Sunday school class. Can you imagine what that teacher could have done? Could have saved the lives of one of our leaders, life of one of our leaders, could have caused a lot of tragedy and heartache in America to be avoided if that little teacher in one little Sunday school class, in one little church, in one little city, in one of the 50 states, if that little teacher had realized the importance of a little task. If I've said it around here once, I've said it 10,000 times. Brother, if you have a task to do for God, you give it all you've got. All you've got. Every time you sing a special, give it all you've got. Every time you play a prelude, every time you play that thing over here for the service, give it all you've got. Every time you teach a Sunday school class, give it all you've got. I'm sick up to here. Of Sunday school teachers laying home on Sunday morning because they didn't get much sleep on Saturday night. Or going out of town carelessly on Sunday. Let me tell you something. That job that God has given you to do, you do it with all your might. That little pastor in New York State, when a teenage boy, young man, visited his services one Sunday night, and that pastor stood to speak, he did not know how important the sermon was. He did not know that a young man, many years ago, was sitting in his service, whose name was Karl Marx. He didn't know. That pastor that night did not know that if that young man had responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the entire Bolshevik Revolution might have been avoided. One night, one preacher preached a sermon. Karma, think what could have happened to the world. Think what could have happened. If that preacher that night somehow the power of God had gotten upon him and Karl Marx had been born again. The people in that church not far from here did not realize one day that a little boy in the Sunday school class named John Dillinger sat in the Sunday school class. Think what could have happened if John Dillinger had gotten born again. May I tell you this morning, some of you teachers are going to face God Almighty one of these days and give an account to your Maker because you carelessly prepared and not visited, not cared, and not wept over many of these little kids. And I'll tell you what, we have some potential John Dillingers in this church. You bet! The little cats! Here's a king, Joash, and God's man who's dying puts his hand over on him and says, shoot all the arrows out the window. And Joash gets his bow and shoots one. He gets his an arrow and shoots another. He gets an arrow and shoots another. Puts down his bow. And Elisha got mad and said, you should have shot five or six. All of them. That little task. I did not know when a lady attended our services in Garland, Texas, when I was pastor of the Miller Road Baptist Church. I did not know that Richard Speck's mother ever sat in my audience. I did not know that often on a Sunday night, Richard Speck's mother, maybe with her son, I don't know. I know she came. I did not know that until someone talked to Richard Speck and he said he knew me and found out that his mother had driven over from Fort Worth, Texas, to Garland, Texas, on a Sunday night or so, to hear me preach. Oh, maybe, do you think maybe one Sunday night I didn't do the best I could? Do you think maybe one Sunday night I didn't prepare like I should? Do you think maybe one Sunday night I didn't have the burden I should have had? Could it be those seven nurses could have been alive, seven or eight nurses could have been alive, they were shot. And by the way, that one thing has done more to spring the lawlessness in America than most anything else. One Sunday morning, I got a visitor's card. Had the name of a certain family out here in Lansing on it. Somebody said, that family is mother. Ushers, don't move around now, please. The ushers cause more trouble sometimes than the children do. And young people, you behave now. But I got a card, and somebody said, that's the mother and father of one of the girls that was killed over here, one of these nurses that was killed by Richard Speck. I got in my car that afternoon and rode out to the house and told them about the Savior. And I think, as I recall, I won the man to Jesus, if I recall, maybe both of them anyway. I won one of them to Christ out in Lansing. I sat there and felt guilty all during the conversation. Oh, was it my fault? Was it some usher, maybe, that didn't do his job the night that she came? Was it some soloist that didn't prepare like he should have the night she came? Was it some whispering teenager in the service that caused some trouble? And God pity you heathen kids that don't know how to behave in church. Was it some teenager who was misbehaving and Mrs. Speck didn't get the message? I don't know. But I know one thing. She came on Sunday. At least one. And I preached to her. Maybe I could have said something. Was it my fault? Oh, listen to me. That mother who takes that little child and puts it in the bed and tucks the little child in bed, she may be tucking a John Wesley in bed. Mamas, be careful how you do it. Be careful how you do it. Oh, Dad, when you have that young son and he looks up to you, I was thinking last week how Dave's getting married in a couple of months and he's buying a little furniture now for his house. And I was thinking a little bit this week about his childhood, and oh, I did not know when I was a young man and Dave was trying to step in my footsteps, and he used to tell the boys in the neighborhood, my daddy can lick any daddy in this whole neighborhood. I used to say, son, be careful about that. Be careful. He said, well, daddy, it's true. I said, well, sure it's true, but I'm a little tired today and I don't have to do it. And I didn't know. You don't know, Dad, what that little cigarette you hold in your hand might do to turn that boy away from God. You don't know what that dirty magazine you put in your hand might do to turn that boy away from God. You don't know, Mother, what it might do to your little child as she sees you feasting upon these dirty, sexy, triangular, romantical programs in the afternoon, these little rotten cereals that were spawned in hell and produced by the devil himself, as you watch these Secret Storm and the doctors and all these things that are against everything in this blessed Word of God. You don't know what some little child is going to do because Mother didn't do one day's task right. Oh, listen, Joash, shoot all the arrows. Shoot all the arrows. Joash puts his bow down, and Elisha gets mad and says, that does it. The whole kingdom will be destroyed someday because you didn't do one job and do it well. For 16 years, I've practiced in this auditorium, walking in the pulpit. For 16 years, I've come to this building almost every week of my life, and I've practiced the way I walk from the door to the pulpit. For 16 years, I've practiced the way I walk from right here, right to here. I may not do it well, but I've practiced it. Why? That's God's walk, that's why. This is God's place, that's why. For 16 years, I've gotten on my knees about every week of the world. Behind the pulpit, the same pulpit that I preached from for these years, the same one, for 16 years. And I've said, oh my God, help me every time I preach, to preach as if it were the last sermon I ever preach. I don't know what it's going to be. It may be that rumor that got out might be prophetical. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? But one thing I do know, I know that when God gives a person a task to perform, he ought to give it everything he's got. Three arrows. Three arrows! Killed many husbands, widowed many wives, orphaned many children, because one king thought three was enough. And then one day a man came down this aisle and received Christ, got born again, very fine man, good looking fellow, some stature. I asked him why he got saved, and he said, I walked in this auditorium one day, a lost sinner, and I watched you come in the door. And he said, when you walked in that door, the way you walked to the pulpit is the thing that made me want to be a Christian. And I said, glory to God, all these years of practicing. One little thing. One little thing. One little task. Why, who cares how you walk? What difference does it make how you walk the pulpit? What difference? I'll tell you, it's God's pulpit and God's building. And whatever I do for God, I ought to give it the best I've got. Those teens, Sunday night before last. Hey, boys, back in the back, sit up straight and listen to me.
Amen.
Those teens, some of our so-called best, and sometimes I'm wondering if some of our so-called best aren't our worst. When a certain pizza house on a Sunday night, or Wednesday night, it was Sunday night, I think it was, some folks walked in there, about 8 or 10 First Baptist Church deacons' kids, staff kids, Sunday school teachers' kids were so rowdy and so unruly, people had to get up and walk out of the pizza place. Somebody may be burning in hell 10,000 years from now because of that, young people. Oh, I wish I could reach out and grab everybody in this church every Sunday school teacher and every person that has an usher and every person that takes care of the nurseries and the PA and the staff members and the deacons. I wish I could grab out everybody, the president of a Sunday school class or vice president or a circle chairman in WMS or a custodian. I wish I could reach out and grab every one of you and stop and shake you and make you realize how important it is that all of us watch it all the time. Every task we do may be the thing that'll seal somebody's grave and send somebody to hell forever. Another thought I'd like to leave with you. Shoot all the arrows. Why? The importance of symbol. The importance of little tasks. Number three, the importance of giving our best. Giving our best. Joash, shoot all the arrows. Why shoot all? I've already shot three. What does shooting arrows in the ground have anything to do with the victory over the Syrians? You don't have to ask why, Joash. You just do what God's man said. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, here's the difference in success and failure. It's whether you give it your best or not. It's not personality. It's not looks. It's not humor. It's not dynamic. It's do you heed the admonition of God's word when it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. All thy might. Joash showed us the importance of doing his best. Shoot all the arrows. I'm talking to a church full of people this morning doing nothing for God but filling up 18 inches of padding every Sunday morning and maybe Sunday night, maybe Wednesday, doing nothing for God. You haven't learned yet there's a hell. 27 years ago, January 1st, no, 26 years ago, this coming January 1st, there sat in my services on the fourth row of a little country church in East Texas, my unconverted father. He only heard me preach twice in his whole life. I gave it the best I had. I really did. I gave it the best I had. He died before the spring. He died during the spring. A drunkard's death. And is buried today in an alcoholic's grave. But for 26 years almost, the last thing I've done on Saturday night, just get this billfold out and get this picture out and look at the only picture that I have of my dad and get on my face and I say, oh my God, oh my God, help me to preach tomorrow with the same compassion and love and diligence that I wanted my pastor to preach with one night, the only night my dad ever sat in church with me. He heard me preach twice, and one Sunday night, as many of you know, he went to the Fernwood Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. The pastor stood up and said, this is our night, we're going to have our music cantata. And I thought I'd die. I said, that's not right. My daddy's here. My daddy's lost. He's a drunkard. Never bought me a shirt or a pair of shoes in his life. Bought me one little blue t-shirt. I can see it right now. Little blue ribbed t-shirt. One little blue t-shirt. The whole of my life. And my daddy's here. And the choir singing. God's man ought to be pouring out his soul instead of the choir singing a cantata. I detest that kind of garbage. Brother, if you haven't got enough burden to kick a choir out and preach, then you resign a pulpit and go pulling peaches in Georgia somewhere. Good night, what's wrong? And every Saturday night before I go to bed, I think about that Sunday night when I sat right back here in the back in the center of my dad and prayed for the preacher all during the song service. I was 7 years old and prayed for the preacher all during the song service. I said, oh, God, help the preacher tonight. Oh, God, help the preacher tonight. And I think about how my heart broke in two. When they had a choir musical program and no sermon. And I think about when I went home and got on my knees beside my little baby bed. We didn't have any anything else. I slept in a baby bed at 7. And I said, "Dear Lord, I'm just a poor little kid on relief. And I'm just an old Jackie boy. But if you'd ever make me a preacher, I'd never do that. And if this is the last sermon I preach, or if tonight is, or whenever it is, when I face the Lord, I'll have to tell Him, 'Lord, I was awful stubborn. I always thought I was the only one right. I always thought I was right.' You know why? You know why I'm that way? 'Cause I'm always right." But I can honestly look at Him and say, "Lord, You know this is true. I consciously, before I ever walked into a pulpit, consciously begged You to help me do the best I could." This may not seem like much to you, but I practice how I stand here beside the casket. This may not seem like much to you, but I practice the way I stand at the grave. I went out this week at Mr. Salih's grave and spent a while saying, "God, why did You do it?" And asking God to give us our needs. I want to do the best I can. I'm no R.G. Lee, I know it, but I can do the best Jack Hobbs can do. And that's what I want for you. Oh, if I could somehow reach out and grab my people and make you stop and realize heaven and hell hangs in the balances every time we walk in this building. Everything you do. If it's just taking a bow and shooting an arrow out the east window, shoot all the arrows. And number 4, the importance of complete victory. The importance of complete victory. Don't just defeat the Syrian 3 times. Win the battle. If your enemy has been bad music, break the records and change the buttons on your car radio. If your problem's been dirty magazines, don't go to the same old place to buy you a newspaper. Shoot all the arrows. Don't hang around a place where they serve liquor if your liquor was your problem. Shoot all the arrows. Shoot them all. This young lady in this church, she's a good, she's a student at one of our schools. Lovely young lady. But a boy that's not a Christian wants to go with her. And she's broken up with him. Sort of. But she doesn't shoot all the arrows. And she doesn't destroy the thing. And one of these days she's going to be a miserable young lady because one of those arrows is going to come back and shoot her if she doesn't shoot them all. One reason communism is right. Do you know if America had shot all the arrows at the end of World War II, there wouldn't be any communists now? Whenever we got Germany, we should have just kept on going all the way to Russia. We didn't shoot all the arrows. Mr. Nixon didn't shoot all the arrows. And Mr. Ford's not shooting all the arrows. Mr. Johnson didn't shoot all the arrows. I wish we had a Teddy Roosevelt again who would shoot all the arrows. We didn't shoot all the arrows at Cuba. And now Mr. Castro's a hero in our country. All the arrows! Oh, let me tell you, whatever your job is, for God and for good, give it all you've got. All you've got. All the arrows. All the arrows. Shoot them all. Years pass. I think I see an old grandfather. I think I'll change that wording. An old great-grandfather. I am an old grandfather. I think I see an old great-grandfather. Our grandfather sitting. Little child's on his knee. Little child says, "Why are we slaves? Granddaddy, why are we here in slavery? Why is it that my daddy's dead?" And the old grandfather says, "Son, you won't understand all of it. One time we had a king whose name was Joash and a prophet whose name was Elisha. And one day Elisha was dying and reached out and placed his hand on the King Joash's hand and said, shoot the arrows out the window. The son, and maybe the grandfather, get a bow and an arrow. So here's what he did. He took the bow and placed an arrow in it, shot one out the window. He got another arrow out of his quiver and shot another out the window. He got the third arrow and shot it out the window. And then he laid down the bow. Said, son, you may have it find hard to believe, but if King Joash had finished the job that day, we'd be free today. And your mother wouldn't be a widow. And you wouldn't be an orphan. Ladies and gentlemen, one day you're going to face your God, and one day I'm going to face Him. I want the Lord Jesus to look at me and say, look at old Jack. His quiver's empty. He shot them all. He shot them all. Shoot all the arrows. That's one reason why I do so much stuff. I preach, made a record, make tapes, write books on philosophy of all people. Write books on how to build churches. Got a book of poetry coming out now. So, hey, why out of the house? Why you do so many things? I'm going to shoot all the arrows. You say, well, I'm a little short. I won't shoot them. Maybe I can shoot, kill some little short Syrians with them. But some of those arrows are pretty dull. Okay, maybe I can just knock somebody out with one of them. But I want to get every arrow I've got in my quiver, and I want to meet Jesus with an empty quiver. Shoot all the arrows. Shoot all the arrows. Shoot all the arrows. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that Sunday school teachers will make vows, holy vows to God. I pray that bus workers will make holy vows to God. I pray that indifferent deacons will become concerned deacons. I pray that each of us who has a job in this church shall give his all. All of it, and shoot all the arrows. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Are you shooting all the arrows? No one will leave the service, please, unless it's an emergency, and I mean that's illness or death. What are you doing about your job? What are you doing for God? How near your best are you doing? Shoot all the arrows. All the arrows. And then maybe somebody this morning, even if somebody's at Sabre the Hiles, I don't even have a quiver. I don't even have a quiver. I'm not even God's child. I do not even know that I'm ready to die, but I wish I did. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die, but I don't know that I'm ready. I wonder how many in this great crowd this morning would say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die, but I wish I did know it. First on the main floor, how many would raise your hand and say, pray for me, I want to be saved and know it. Just raise your hand way up high. Way up high, God bless you. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Yes, there are many. Who else on the lower floor? Pray for me. I want to be saved. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God bless you, sir. Who else? I want to be saved and know it. How about the balcony? Who upstairs doesn't? Yes, God bless you. You don't know you're going to heaven, but you wish you did. God bless you. And you. Who else up in the balcony? Yes, and God bless you, lady. Who else upstairs? Pray for me. God bless you over here. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for God will last. Our Heavenly Father, bless these dear ones and save them all today. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask every one of you that raised your hand to do something that'll be hard but worth every effort it takes. I'm going to ask you to leave the service. I know you leave your seat and come near the aisle, down the aisle, and down to the front as we close the service. Just leave your seat when we sing. Come to the nearest aisle, down to the front, and let us know that you want to receive Christ. You'll never be sorry. We have some experts here that can take their Bibles and show you how to go to heaven when you die. And so I beg you to come. If you're here this morning, you've not been baptized, don't forget the importance of the symbol. Don't forget the importance of the symbol. If you need to transfer that membership, what kind of Christianity is it that lives in an area and has no membership where you go to church? What kind is it? Your neighbors know you don't have a church home. Your children know you don't have a church home. You come this morning and move that membership. If you need to join the church or get baptized or get ready to die by trusting Christ, I want you to leave your seat, come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front. We can show you how to go to heaven. Would you do it? Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing. As the choir sings the first stanza all over the building, right now on the first stanza, just leave your seat and come toward the aisle. Settle this matter for God. Do it now as they sing. Come on.